on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. I'm Luke Guerrero, and today's Tuesday, September 9th, 2025. We are well into the month of September now, almost a third of the way through, which means we're almost at the end of the third quarter of 2025. And as we approach the end of the year, a time when a lot of us take our foot off the gas, get ready for the holidays, the start of a new year, it becomes incredibly important that we remain focused. And so, each and every day, Justin and I come here to host this program, a program that has one objective, and that is to help make you a better and more informed investor. We want to help you understand market dynamics, but more importantly, how those dynamics can affect your portfolios. Now, in order to do that, we bring a mixture of educational and actionable material to the table, and we are doing that yet again today. But the most important part of this mission, most helpful part of this mission, is your contributions in the form of your finance and investment questions. Now, just a bit before we talk about today's market performance and run down those show topics that we have today, let's tackle this caller question.
Hey, guys, I'm looking at Argan Incorporated. It's AGX. I bought this a couple of years ago in the high 40s, and now it's around a little over 200. It looks like it's starting to roll off a bit. I'm just wondering if I should take my profits and run, or if you think this thing has got some more room to grow in it. Appreciate everything.
Ticker AGX is Argan Inc. It's a holding company that has essentially three primary uses. One of their divisions, SMC, delivers telecommunications infrastructure. Another, TRC, specializes in industrial construction and maintenance. And then their other division does engineering procurement and consulting services for the power grid, not just electricity, but also renewable energy. Now, most of their revenue does come from that power services segment. And so the reason why this company is up so much, 132.8% in the past 52 weeks, 58.65% year to date, is because of blowout quarterly performance, a 400% jump in earnings per share from Q3 of 2024 into Q3 of 2025. Now, the reason why this is happening is along the lines of the bullish thematic tailwind that has been corporate spending on artificial intelligence and the necessity to build databases and the infrastructure that goes along with that. So through their consulting, through their engineering, through their industrial construction, they've had a huge boom in revenue, which has translated pretty well down to earnings. They had a 57% increase in quarterly sales in their most recent quarterly report. On top of that, you know, this is a $2.9 billion market cap company. Look at how much debt they have, $2.6 million. They have $525 million in cash, so they have net debt of negative $523 million. So it's got a very clean balance sheet. Their revenue growth over the past 5 years is really bolstered by the past two, where revenue has nearly doubled from 2024 into what would be fiscal year 26 for them, which would end in January 2026. So they're on a different fiscal calendar. But still, crazy growth, incredible growth. And with that, their price to forward-looking earnings is sitting about 24.7 times, pretty well above their average, not near their high of 35.8, price to book sitting at 7.2, pretty well above their average. It does seem to be a bit expensive of a name, but relative strength hasn't really dropped off that much. Cash flows continues to improve. Their margins continue to improve as well. projected to be 11.5% net margin this year in fiscal 2026. And so because it really doesn't seem like structurally it's slowing down, though it did drop off a little bit from 235 down to where it's sitting now at 217. If you've been holding on to it since 40 and you haven't taken any profit, I would certainly start to do so here. Although it is expensive, it doesn't look crazy expensive to me, but there it does seem to be a slight break in the trend here from July. And given the amount of spending may be reduced in terms of the breadth of spending, given that we're not seeing a lot of monetization, well, you could start to see growth slow down here as well. So safe to say, take a little bit of profit. I do think, though, given the dynamics, this company still has a lot of upward potential. That is Argon Inc., ticker AGX. Alrighty, we got a lot of ground to cover in the next 40 minutes or so. So here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this question. The crypto retirement debate is a small bet, the key to future wealth. We'll take a look at weighing the potential for a small cryptocurrency allocation in order to enhance your retirement returns against the significant risks of extreme volatility and unpredictable regulatory landscape. Also, we have a couple other stories that are important. One of them is going to look at the lumber prices and what that means for the U.S. economy. We'll also touch on the American worker that feels far less confident about finding a job than it did this time last year. Should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on U.S. consumer finances and how they continue to be a bit robust despite the jobs data that we are seeing. We also have some voice bank questions ready to play, including one on Zoom Communications, Inc., that's ticker ZM, and another on Digital Realty Trust, ticker DLR. We also have some questions that came in from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel, and of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now or anytime throughout the show. Going into a quick break, please remember you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk voice bank. If you're listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, call now at 888-99-CHART. Up next, we'll talk about the market today.
Get ready for an all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar, Beyond the Mag 7. How to identify AI opportunities across sectors. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are going to help you move past the familiar names to identify the key opportunities for investment in the real AI revolution. They'll be talking about the energy grid, data center infrastructure, and how AI is boosting profits in a wide range of industries. The all-new InvestTalk Wealth Webinar, happening online September 30th from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Seats are limited, so register now at investtalk.com. There's value in every InvestTalk podcast, so call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
We all know that working in a small business means that you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in the way they staff key projects and initiatives by accessing a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, AI, design, admin support, marketing, and more. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. And posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable with industry low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
InvestTalk downloads have now surpassed 61 million. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk a little bit about the market today. A positive day overall, though breadth looked a little narrow. The Dow was up 43 basis points. S&P 500 up 27 basis points. NASDAQ up 37, Russell 2000, small caps down 55. Overall, mostly higher across the board. Major indices near their best levels. You did see a notable surge in the last half hour of trading. Dow, S&P, NASDAQ closed at fresh record highs. But as I mentioned, right, breadth was a bit negative. The equal weight S&P 500 was lower. From a sector basis, big tech mostly higher, Google and Meta, the Mag 7 standouts on the day. Other outperformers included managed care, healthcare services, money center banks, investment banks, and telecom names. Underperformers, some of the worst performers on the day, media, building products, home builders, chemicals, and industrial metals. On the bond side, Treasury's a bit weaker. You did see the curve flatten following a notable move lower in yields over the last few sessions. Yields were up 6 basis points at the short end. Dollar index was up 40 basis points. Gold finished up 10 basis points. And crude oil settled up 70, ending well off of the best levels we saw earlier in the day, given the Israeli strike on Qatar. A lot of moving pieces. Benchmark revisions to U.S. payrolls spun as more negative than expected. The labor market softening, really the big driver of the recent pickup and what we're seeing from the market in terms of the Fed easing expectations. But despite all the attention on the softening, the labor market softening, you don't really see a real shift in recessionary expectations. Elsewhere, takeaways from a busy sell-side conference updates, largely positive. Focus has been both on AI, not just the names where they're rallying again today, but also the stable consumer. We saw, as I mentioned, a big ramp up in Middle East tensions as Israel struck a building in Doha in an attempt to, as they say, or as they reported, an attempt to kill leadership of Hamas. But that did have a little bit of a boost on crude oil that did taper off towards the end of the day. Inflation, the focus for Wednesday and Thursday, though, you know, given what we've seen in the labor market, given the turn in discussion from Powell just a couple weeks ago, probably a bit de-risked in terms of what those numbers mean for the Fed cutting path looking forward. Looking ahead, August PPI will be out on Wednesday. August CPI and initial claims will be out on Thursday. Preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment and inflation expectations for September will cap off the week on Friday. As a reminder, there's no Fed speak at all this week. The central bank is in a blackout period ahead of next week's FOMC meeting. All right, let's get to our first question from the InvestTalk YouTube comment section. I know I mention it from time to time, but over on our YouTube channel, we don't just provide the same information that we provide here on the podcast. We do cut up the show, put it in an easily digestible form, because maybe some days you just want to listen to, call it questions, or maybe you just want to get to the focus point immediately. It's kind of like Goosebumps. You can choose your own adventure in that respect. But we also do other types of content that is specific to our YouTube learning sessions. We also host all of our webinars. So that sounds interesting. Head over there to InvestTalk with two T's on YouTube and check that out. While you're over there, if you have a question, we'd like to get to those as quickly as we can. And this one is about ticker LRN. It says, would love to hear your thoughts on Stride, ticker symbol LRN. Does it still have a lot of room to run this cycle? Is it a good long-term hold in your opinion? Stride is a technology-driven education company. They specialize in offering K through 12, so kindergarten through the end of high school, virtual schools, supplemental learning, and professional career training services across the U.S. and internationally. Now, the company has done pretty well over the past 3 months, really pretty well over the past 52 weeks, up 112.42%. In the past year, up 60-ish percent year-to-date. They had some pretty big breakout momentum on the back of some very solid earnings. Stock rallied 15%, reaching all-time highs after the most recent earnings report. Over the past 6 months, stock has really been driven by that financial strength, not just from the profitability of it, but also from the balance sheet, right? It's a $7.1 billion market cap company. It's only got $550 million in debt. Very, very clean balance sheet. Its profitability is improving. Its cash flow is improving. They do not pay a dividend. They have been issuing a little bit of shares. But given this run-up, right, given what we've seen in terms of the growth here, 18.2% is the five-year annualized growth rate. Well, now it's trending towards being a bit expensive by its own standards. It's sitting at 20 times forward-looking earnings, the average about 16, so not crazy expensive, high of about 32. Price to book about 4.8, still a little bit below that five-year average. But the key here is growth just continues to manifest itself, even from 2024 to 2025, their fiscal year ended in June. You saw about 20% growth. That's pretty remarkable. At the same time, net income grew pretty significantly. Net margins expanded from 10 to 12%. And so the fact that you have this continued growth, there really doesn't seem to be any type of slowdown from a momentum basis. And the valuations are a little elevated, but nothing crazy high. I think the demand is still there. I think that means that this name still has a little room to run. That is Stride, ticker LRN. We are moving into a break still to come. My main focus point, a few talking points about some important stories that I think you should know about. And of course, more answers to your finance and investment questions. We answered a voicemail. We answered a YouTube question. Would love to hear from you live anytime throughout the show. I encourage you to call now. You know the number, 888-99-CHART.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
While I have your attention, I want to tell you about a new series that has debuted on our InvestTalk YouTube channel, InvestTalk Innovators. Justin and I will be bringing you insightful interviews with company leaders, founders, and visionaries. For the first episode, I spoke with Haren Bhakta, the mind behind Inside Ownership. He highlights how his philosophy of investing in founder-led businesses can offer a real advantage and passes on some practical tips that you don't want to miss. To watch our full interview, visit our InvestTalk YouTube channel today and stay tuned for more conversations with more InvestTalk innovators. Let's talk some crypto. My main focus point concerns this question. The crypto retirement debate is a small bet, the key to future wealth. Well, anytime we're considering putting any type of asset in any of our investment accounts, this is how you can tell it's a live show because sometimes I can't speak, you have to consider what are the characteristics of that asset. Well, crypto, it's highly volatile. And because it's highly volatile, that means the risk profile, because volatility is a measure of risk, is very risky, which means it's not suited for everyone. Retirement investors specifically, if you're thinking about putting this in your IRA, you have to weigh risk, you have to weigh tolerance, you have to weigh timeline, you have to weigh what your financial goals are all carefully. Now, there can be some benefits. Cryptocurrency, and when I'm saying that, I primarily mean Bitcoin, has, over time, had extraordinary returns. Extraordinary returns. And so I understand the inclination to say, okay, do I want some sort of allocation to this? Well, most self-directed IRAs do offer access to crypto, right? If you're looking to put cryptocurrency within your retirement allocation, this is probably where you want to go. Most employee-sponsored 401ks, well, they still restrict it due to some regulatory concerns. And this all comes on a backdrop of this surge we've seen in early 2025, and through most of 2025, though it's tapered off a little bit, when Bitcoin hit all-time highs, it drew the attention to crypto's long-term growth potential, despite that short-term volatility. But it is a different type of asset, right? It's not similar to stocks. There is no future cash flows that are expected from that company that are returned to shareholders. It's different from bonds. You don't have a set payment structure and timeline over which you can expect some income. There's speculative risk, given that it is the ultimate long-duration asset. There is no future flows towards you. There is a lot of speculation there. A lot of people don't understand what is going on with it. They know that Bitcoin is something that exists in some abstract form, but the principles behind why some people believe it has value, whether or not it does, they don't understand those. And there's also evolving regulation, and these can cause pretty sharp fluctuations, but more importantly for you, sharp investor losses. Now, if you're considering putting crypto within your portfolio, we don't want to have some sort of YOLO approach where you take all your money, you throw it in Bitcoin, and you hope that 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you have a lot of money. Especially if you're nearing retirement, because we talk about this all the time. It doesn't matter what the asset is. You can take on less risk if you need the money sooner. If you're a year out from retirement, you probably want to take a smaller allocation, especially given year-to-year volatility of cryptocurrency. If you're further out, you can maybe stomach the risks even more. Small allocations are typically what are recommended, between 1 and 5% of your portfolio. Now, the correlations between Bitcoin and some equities, specifically Qs, have increased over time. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't offer some sort of diversification benefit, because there are low correlations with traditional assets. And historically, they have delivered, again, those strong returns over longer periods of time. But risk mitigation is where you want to consider, is what you want to consider if you want to enter these positions. Dollar cost averaging, periodic rebalancing, and longer holding periods. It's essential for holders of cryptocurrency to want to have a positive investment experience. One of the big benefits of putting it in your self-directed IRA, tax deferral, means taxes only apply upon the withdrawal. And if you have a large escalatory path of return, deferring those taxes can be very, very beneficial to you. Now, in the wake of the Trump administration passing new regulations with regards to stablecoin, the Genius Act, some barriers are starting to come down, but barriers still do exist. Even with the Financial Freedom Act reintroduction in 2025, it may expand access over time. We aren't quite there yet. And so it is an evolving landscape that can greatly affect your return profile and the value of the asset. Last but not least, it is not like other assets, right? Understanding the risks of not self-custodying, i.e. needing to use qualified custodians and avoiding speculative behavior, is a necessity if you decide that cryptocurrency is an allocation you want in your portfolios. On the next Invest Talk, we will look into this question, the 2026, I can't believe I just said that, 2026 Social Security COLA, cost of living adjustment. Will a 2.7% increase be enough to outrun inflation? In this segment, we break down the estimated 2.7 cost of living adjustment for 2026 and explore why experts are concerned this moderate boost may not be enough to cover rising expenses for retirees. That's tomorrow. For now, I'm Lou Guerrero, ready to take your calls on 888-99-CHART. Did you know a single finger prick at home can give you over 180 personalized insights into how to improve your health and slow your aging? As soon as you try the True Age plus True Health test by True Diagnostic, it will show you things you've never learned from a standard doctor's visit or your annual physical. The True Age plus True Health test is a simple at-home kit that gives you powerful insights so you can feel better longer. True Health looks at over 105 biomarkers tied to your nutritional, metabolic, immune, and cognitive health. True Age measures 75 plus biomarkers to reveal your biological age, your pace of aging, and the age of key organ systems. It doesn't just give you a single number. It shows you how your heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging. Together, the combo gives you a complete picture of your health today, along with personalized recommendations that will give you the largest bang for buck improvements to your health and to slow down aging. It's all done at home with just a quick, painless finger prick. If you're serious about living healthier and longer, visit TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code INVEST for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST for 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Justin and Luke. Thank you for taking my call. My question is that I had bought Zoom during the COVID time when the prices were quite high. And ever since COVID, you know, the prices have really dropped and I am about 50% down on it. What kind of strategies should I take from here, or what actions do I take from here? Should I average it down? Should I just let it go, bite the bullet? Or should I just wait and maybe invest some more and average it down and maybe sell? Any information would be great. Thank you so much for your guidances and teachings. Bye.
So Zoom Communications is a communications company. It got really popular during the pandemic when a lot of work moved to work from home. Think of Skype, think of Microsoft Teams, video conferencing, webinars. This is what Zoom does. We use Zoom internally and for the webinars that we do every quarter for all of you guys who want to watch. And it is a name that we do currently hold for our clients, though we did not, did not buy it up at here at the 500 level when it was surging during the pandemic. And it really has not recovered at all whatsoever to those levels since then. Now, year to date, it's up about 5% over the past 3 months. It's up 6.68%, up 28%, 28.58% to be specific, over the past 52 weeks. The reason why is because there's a bit of a turnaround story here. You see this massive growth here, right? Most of that centered in the pandemic, though. But growth is starting to turn around yet again here after having a really rough 2024 into 2025. They had solid Q2 earnings and guidance. Earnings per share of 153 beating 138, an 11% surprise. Revenue of about 1.22 billion, accelerating revenue growth out of the previous quarter, which is always something you like to see. And a lot of that has to do with some of their focus on embracing AI within the offerings of Zoom, the AI note-taking companion, the meeting notes, I think are a great feature that they have, and trying to monetize in a way that I think a lot of other companies are not putting it as in tune with the software platform for the user. Now, we hold Zoom, like I said, for clients. We think Zoom is a solid company. We think the key drivers that have really turned this around are something that can sustain the company ever forward. But I think I want to answer this question within the context of you. And so you said, should you hold on to it? We think Zoom has the potential for some pretty solid returns, so that could be an option. But if you intend to sell it, you wouldn't want to lower your cost basis, because if you intend to sell it, you have a pretty juicy, if you will, capital loss here. So if your intention is to sell, no, you wouldn't just want to buy in to lower your cost basis. That doesn't make any sense. But we think, we hold it for clients for a reason, that Zoom does have some potential. It's had a pretty strong 52 weeks, pretty strong 3 months, actually. Hopefully this growth trend continues. That is Zoom Communications, ticker ZM. Why don't we try and fit in another question? We love going back to back. And this one says, what is your recommended proportion of gold? Thank you. Very insightful. I have a DCA on GLDM ETF and been doing that for some years now. That is my only exposure to gold, and it only forms 1% of my portfolio. I've been working on building my retirement fund. What is the recommended proportion of gold that I should have in my portfolio? Thanks. Great show. And look forward to hearing your response on YouTube or on the podcast. By the way, I like the short clips on YouTube as it allows me to zoom in on the topic I'm interested in and save time when I'm really busy at work. I'm glad that somebody likes it. That's why we do it. We want to give you the content that you want, the way you want it, when you want it. Now let's take a look at GLDM, which is the ETF we are talking about here. It is the Spider Gold, pause for dramatic effect, Gold Mini Shares Trust of Beneficial Interest. It pretty much just tracks the price of gold here. If you've been paying attention, you know gold has been on a historic run. And so this ETF is up 38.51% year to date, 45.27% on the 1 year. And frankly, gold tends to be a commodity that does really well and there's a lot of uncertainty. And then when there's certainty about things being bad, that's when gold starts to fall. If you're worried about the future, you buy gold. If you're worried about today, you sell gold because you can't pay your phone bill in gold. We're in the phase of dollar strength falling, of a lot of uncertainty. And so there's been a lot of purchasing of gold on a retail level, on a institutional level with countries that are trying to move away from the U.S. dollar, given the priorities of this current administration. And so we don't think that there is likely to be, anything that really stops this train for quite some time. If there continues to be a little chipping away at the optics of Fed independence or faith in the dollar, certainly gold can benefit there. And so gold can be a great part of your portfolio, not just for the returns, but for the diversification as well. Now, historically speaking, people said, okay, 60-40 equity bonds, maybe throw in, a little bit of weight there, get rid of some equities, get rid of some bonds, maybe 10% gold. I think 5 to 10% gold for your overall portfolio is a great place to start. We know how gold moves historically in terms of how its correlations relate to other assets. We know what we've seen in recent terms. I think both of those offer benefits to keeping gold in your portfolio. Thanks for watching. All right, let's talk a little bit about lumber prices, because lumber prices have fallen nearly 24% since early August. And what that does is it signals a weakness in housing, but also a weakness in the economy more broadly. Producers like Interfor and Domtar are curtailing output to slow the decline and essentially taking some of these mills offline. Now, that can have an effect on multiple fronts. Why? Because now we are seeing a slowdown in investment, which can become a reinforcing issue. But it's difficult to time anything, right? And so if you're cutting your future supply and then you have a mismatch against demand later on, it kind of takes a while to work things up again. You can't just say, okay, we're going to output a lot of lumber today. It takes time. Things take time. Now, another added layer here is trade uncertainty, especially around Canadian lumber tariffs. And that's driven volatility with buyers stockpiling in anticipation of duties. And so even with some of the demand side issues for construction, for new housing, some of the supply side issues with the prices falling, now you have hoarding. And you have a situation where the supply-demand dynamics of the market becomes even more complicated. So when President Trump's tariff threats really spurred this speculative buying, and all this demand was there, well, when he backed off, what happened? Prices started to collapse, and now supply exceeds demand. All of these inventories have nowhere to go. U.S. warehouses are full due to these Canadian exporters front-loading a lot of this inventory ahead of what were anticipated duty hikes. Then you add on top of that, housing market data is weak. Residential building permits fell to 1.4 million units in July, the lowest level since mid-2020. Again, the demand just is not there for the supply that was artificially put into the system. U.S. construction spending fell 3.4% from May to July, another sign of cooling demand. Canadian lumber duties jumped to 35% from 15%, which pushed the break-even price even higher. Think about it with oil. We talked about this when oil was trading really, really, really low, down near $60 a barrel. There is a price at which you don't make any money by drilling oil. There's the same thing here. There's a price at which you do not make any money from these mills. And because the duties jump, that price becomes a bit higher. Now, Wall Street expects Fed rate cuts this month, which could revive housing activity if more people can afford homes. If more companies can afford to build homes more quickly, because as we talk about all the time, the Fed interest rate control doesn't really extend to the residential buyer's side, right? It loosely affects what happens with mortgage rates, but that's more focused on the 10 to the 30 year. That's further out. What this could affect is these building companies saying, hey, it is a lot cheaper to start making new inventory. Obviously, if new inventory comes on the market, general housing levels fall, people can afford homes, that spurs new inventory. It's a cycle. But nothing's certain there, right? Analysts are expecting more closures, more output cuts, as excess supply and sluggish housing pressure in the industry is likely to remain for some time to come. Alrighty, let's go with another caller question now.
I was actually calling about some REITs that I own. Wanted to get your take on how you felt about wireless tower company REITs. I do own Digital Realty Trust, ticker symbol DLR. I am actually up, but I was looking to consolidate this one. Just let me know your thoughts on the REITs in general, and if you would own these for the next year or two, or if I should just get out of these completely and put it somewhere else. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
So before we get into DLR specifically, which is Digital Realty Trust, talk about what generally drives REIT prices. People tend to get into REITs for diversification because real estate tends to have different correlations than equities, or rather two equities, lower correlations. But also as a proxy for bonds, right? They want income. And so as bond yields are high, it's less attractive to move into these REITs. But if interest rates are coming down, well, then it becomes a bit more attractive to move into REITs. And so that's why you see, all right, weaker labor market, Digital Realty Trust up 1.72% today. Over the past year, it's up about 9.8%, still negative on the year. Year to date, down 7.53%. Year to date, down 7.19% in the past 3 months. Now, it has been outperforming its peers, and one of the reasons why is because within the REIT space, there's a lot of, I'd say, specialty REITs. Like, some of the ones that we really like here, storage REITs are ones that we really like. Property REITs that are specific to niche areas. Coastal property is one that tends to weather a lot of economic issues just because of how coastal property tends to not be correlated with the overall property market. But this business has 300 data centers across 25 countries and 50 metro areas. It is a very large, very scalable business that has a lot of broad diversity. And so over the past 6 months, you know, you'd expect it would, with the exception of the past 3 months, right? Because you did see the price back in, December of last year, it was on a consistent uptrend through 2023. It returned 31.8% in 2024, 34.2% in 2023. Why is that? Data center demand. A rebound in data center demand, particularly around AI workloads, the massive amount of building rents, and because of their scalable, sustainable infrastructure investments. Digital Realty Trust has really benefited from that. Now, their margins, operational margins, have been pretty stable. Pre-tax margins sitting about where it was on average, with the exception of 21, which is crazy. Net margin sitting at a pretty decent clip, projected 21.5% this upcoming year. Forward-looking price to earnings, 71, but that's not really something you want to look at for a real estate investment trust. What you're mostly concerned of is price to funds from operations, which looks pretty reasonable. Return on assets, decent. Net operating cash flow, $2.6 billion. I think that, you know, over the past 3 and 6 months, right, it did, and over the past couple of years, it did beat its peers because of the secular driver here. Now, with rates extending their prolonged state of pause, well, most real estate investment trusts didn't do well. That being said, year to date, this thing is still underperforming by about 8.4%. I think in the medium term, this is a pretty solid company. Leasing dynamics are solid. Earnings upgrades have been good. Green infrastructure progress, a lot of that has been locked in. It also has a lot of potential for margin and funds from operation expansion just because of where it sits in the AI space. So I tend to say if you're going to invest in a REIT, invest in one that fits the theme, the macro theme of what is driving markets. I think Digital Realty Trust does just that. Thanks for the call. All right, let's keep things going and answer one more question before the break.
This is Franz from New York, and today I'm calling about MSC Industrial Direct Co., ticker symbol MSM. I own this company and opened a small position in the low 80s, and I've been looking to increase my position after exiting my Meta and Google positions. I believe it's a great business. Based on your opinion, would you recommend increasing my position at these levels or wait for the potential volatility for better opportunities? Thank you, and I'll be listening on a podcast.
MSM, or MSC Industrial Direct, ticker MSM, is a metalwork maintenance repair distribution company. They operate primarily in the United States, with a little bit of international exposure to about 2% from Canada, 2% from Mexico, 95% from the United States. And, you know, overall in the past 3 months, it's been a pretty solid performer, 12.49% over the past 3 months, 23.02% year to date, 18.73% over the past 52 weeks. That relative strength, a lot of that was lost during the pandemic and really not gained back ever since then. Revenue, a bit slow, but growth, you know, tended to be a bit slow in the last couple years. Growth from 2019 to 2023 was strong, but revenue growth has since fallen from about $4 billion to $3.73 billion. At the same time, net income has fallen from $259 million to about $199 million. Net sales dipped 80 basis points in fiscal year 2025, quarter three, and a bit of leadership change as the CEO resigned in late July and an interim CEO took over. Now, we will dive into more details about this company when we come back, but we have to go into one final break here. It is our last break of the day. I think we've accomplished a lot, and we can't wait to take full advantage of all the time we have left. This is InvestTalk. I'm Luke Guerrero. We have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after this break, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now Luke Guerrero is here. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Now, before the break, we were talking about MSC Industrial Direct Co., ticker MSM. It is an industrial company. It's one of North America's largest industrial distributors, so they specialize in metalworking tools, maintenance, repair, and operations. Now, the company's had a bit of a rough time over the past couple years. We talked about revenue falling consistently. We talked about net income falling. We talked about margins contracting. It had a bit of a weak quarterly earnings last quarter as well, though guidance was revised upward. It seems to just be a victim somewhat due of the industrial cycle. They have a juicy dividend yield since about 3.7%, where it consistently has been for the past 4 or 5 years. So if you're an income-focused investor, this name might be it for you. That's about a $5 billion market cap company, not much debt, a lot of short interest out there, sitting about 6%. They do buy back shares. Their cash flow, stable, albeit falling a little bit. Relative strength really hasn't picked up in quite some time. And the relative valuation, pretty high, high end of the range, 22.5 times forward-looking earnings. So, you know, for a company that isn't growing much, that maybe has a turnaround plan with a new CEO and sits in a spot where there's a lot of uncertainty at what position we are in the industrial cycle, I think if you're up on this name, you should probably start to trim a little bit of it, if not sell out of your position. I would not likely be buying more at exactly this level. That is MSC Industrial Direct Company, ticker MSM. Now, before we head off for the day, let's talk a little bit about the job market. We saw the numbers today. The labor market revised downward in terms of jobs by about 900,000 from March to March. Now, that sounds crazy, but this does happen every year. There are a lot of revisions. We've talked about on the show why. But when you go to the individual person, job confidence has hit a record low. Only 44.9% of Americans believe they could find a new job within the next 3 months. Now, I know that sounds like a long time, and that's because it is. That is the lowest level since 2013. And this isn't just with one group of people. It spans all groups, but especially steep among workers with only a high school education. So the people who are more impacted by being out of work, the people who suffer more generally from the effects of inflation. And it doesn't help that job growth is slowing sharply. Healthcare services, in fact, is the only major sector that is still adding jobs at scale. Even white-collar hiring has tightened with AI-driven productivity efforts, leading to workforce reductions that are especially being felt by those who just graduated college looking for ground-level employment. Payrolls fell in August, according to the Conference Board's Employment Trends Index. Now at its lowest level since early 2021, key signs of the labor market are straining to appear. More people are saying jobs are hard to get, a drop in job openings, shrinking temporary employment. Only 22,000 jobs were added last month. And June saw a net job loss, the first time we had a net job loss since 2020. Now, tariff-related inflation pressures may further curb consumption and hiring in the coming months. Things can get away relatively quickly with respect to the job market. And that's why the market is starting to price in so many Fed rate cuts now. The difficulty here being that, yes, the Fed is expected to cut rates next week, trying to support hiring and economic activity, but there are lingering inflationary pressures. The old economic adage is that employment affects some people, inflation affects everybody. And so, with the deteriorating labor market, with more inflation on the horizon, it'll be interesting to see the path of rate cuts the Fed decides to take, given the conflicting mandate. Now, I don't know if you checked it out yet, but we have just started talking about it, and that is that Justin and I will be hosting another InvestTalk Wealth webinar at the end of this month, and it's going to center on a topic that has been integral to markets over the past 2 years, artificial intelligence. Now, we won't be talking about your Metas or your Nvidias or your Microsofts. We're going to be talking about companies that are instrumental in the energy revolution, the picks and shovels, and other areas that you can attack to benefit from AI. That all comes at you at the end of September. Just head over to investtalk.com to register for the webinar. I'm Lou Guerrero, and if today's show made you think about your own financial picture, your investments, your taxes, your retirement, whether it's all really working together, Justin and I would love to have a conversation. At KPP Financial, we offer no-cost portfolio reviews to help bring clarity and confidence. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button. Once again, Justin and I thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get yours anytime at iTunes and Spotify. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, where we have YouTube exclusive content, including our InvestTalk Innovator series, as well as our InvestTalk Classroom series. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.